Paul Myers from Metairie Bank is our guest for Money Trends. Welcome to the show, Paul. Nice to speak with you.
Hey, Ian. How are you doing?
I'm pretty good. How are you doing today, bud?
I'm doing fine. I didn't realize, you know, you were actually supposed to warm up Pop-Tarts. I thought they were just like a grab-and-go kind of a snack anyway.
I think that's for each person to decide on their own there, Mr. Paul. Yeah, that could really go either way. I like to eat them cold because when I was a lowercase I, sometimes the frosting, I'd put them in for too long, and the frosting would melt and get really hot and would burn the roof of my mouth. So I kind of learned a hard lesson there, and my mother discouraged me from having Pop-Tarts that were too hot. So, you know, we're all here to do what we're all here to do.
Look, we got to get through the day, don't we?
Yeah, exactly right. A cold Pop-Tart's halfway there. I'm reading now from an article at CNBC.com. Inflation up 8.3% since last year and more Fed rate hikes likely looming. Of course, this article is now already updated. I'm made to understand the Fed has just announced a new rate hike. Tell me about it, please.
Yeah, so the Fed increased rates by another 75 basis points, or 0.75%. Now, what does that mean to the everyday borrower, John Q. Public or Jane Q. Public, if you will? Tomorrow, they will likely see where the Wall Street Journal prime rate will go from 5.5, where it is currently, to 6.25. Mm. That has a tremendous effect on variable rate instruments or products like credit cards, a lot of your short-term borrowings. If somebody's looking to buy a car, home equity lines of credit, things like that, those they will see an immediate increase in their rate on any type of borrowing like that. This is all stemming from the need to try and slow the economy and slow down inflation. And if you look back in August, when Federal Reserve Chairman Powell, he indicated and he kind of foreshadowed that trying to restore price stability would bring some pain to households. And even in the commentary today from the Federal Open Market Committee, that's true. And they even indicate that they recognize that this is going to really have negative impacts, as I just indicated, for those who are carrying credit card debt or have any type of a debt that has a floating rate. So it is absolutely going to impact our economy in an effort to slow down the demand side of the economy.
Gotcha. Okay. I'm glad you mentioned credit card debt. I also have a piece here from LendingTree that says Americans are racking up more credit card debt now than ever. The typical consumer's racked up more than $6,500 in credit card debt. Says it's not the worst it's ever been, but it's on the way there. Current conditions are leading to this troubling trend. The average rate on a new credit card offer today is a little over 21%, as high as it's ever been. And the really unfortunate thing is it's only going to keep going higher. Your thoughts?
Well, yeah, and the University of Michigan did a study, or they do a regular study, I should say, and where it talked about consumer sentiment versus consumer spending. And consumer sentiment continued to decline, indicating that from a consumer sentiment standpoint, were we already in, using the R word, a recession. Yet consumer spending continued to go up. Now, we recognize that from the time of the pandemic and COVID and PPP and other stimulus programs that the federal government did to try and keep our economy going during the shutdown and the quarantine, all of those, it put money into the economy. It increased the demand side. It gave people the opportunity to spend. What is concerning is that spending trend has continued outside of the pandemic as people came back to the workforce. And we see that in the exponential growth in the credit card debt, which is concerning for all of us, right? I mean, we've all probably either experienced personally or had some family member or friend who just had mounds of credit card debt and didn't know what to do. And it's that instant gratification, but then at some point you have to pay the piper, right? And that's kind of where we are from the standpoint of our economy. We did all of these things in an effort to try and spur our economy through the quarantine and the pandemic, but we've printed so much money and we've put so much stimulus out there. It's created this inflationary environment for which now we're going to have to, as I said, unfortunately, for lack of a better way to say it, pay the piper. And now we're going to have to experience some of that pain to rein things back in.
Pain, yes. That's the same word Jerome Powell used today. Fed Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell says, we will keep at this until we are confident that the job is done, but that Fed policy will bring some pain to households and businesses. Okay, well, you know, we've had some pain over the last couple of years. What's a few months more, I guess? But I'm curious what you think about what he may be talking about when he says, we'll keep at this until the job is done. When do you think the job will be done?
Look, Ian, if I had a crystal ball, we'd probably be having a very different conversation.
Do you have a crystal ball and you're just being cagey about it? Because, look, we don't have to talk about it on the radio, but if I can come over and use your crystal ball just for, I don't know, 20 minutes or something.
I've been told at times I have a significant glare off of my bald head, but I don't think that counts as a crystal ball and being able to see it in the future.
Well, when my bald head, we get them all together, it'll divide by zero or something. Okay, but you don't have a crystal ball, but in your best estimate, what do you think? What does he say?
Best estimate, what he's trying to do is we're going to have, when he says we're going to keep at this, we're going to have pain, he's got to get unemployment up. He's got to do some things to really slow the economy to get the right the supply versus demand. Okay, we still have what appears to be good demand, but our supply is still somewhat lacking with the goods and services. So those are the what he's trying to right size. And you know, you've got speculators out there that saying it might be a short and mild recession where we could even see rate reductions towards the end of 2023. I just don't know if it's going to happen that fast. Again, I'm not an economist; I'm a banker, but there are so many things that play into this. But you know, one interesting thing that you have that is somewhat competing with what the Fed is doing is sometimes you have public policy that actually competes with it. And for an example, the Inflation Reduction Act that was recently passed. Part of that included student loan forgiveness and other things, which is a stimulus, which the stimulus then therefore increases demand. So it's actually working against what the Federal Reserve and Jerome Powell are trying to do in reduce demand. So there are some things out there that are somewhat contradictory. And I think if I had to guess, I would say we're going to be looking at some high interest rates and possibly not necessarily 75 basis point increases, but continued increases through 2023. And we might be looking at this going into the middle of 2024.
Okay. So you think probably, I mean, and I know we're speculating a little bit here in our crystal ball, but think nothing between now and Q1 of 2023, right?
As far as a rate reduction?
Right.
No, I don't see that at all.
Yeah. Or increase.
No. There's always opportunity for increase if unemployment numbers are still holding strong and the inflationary rate is still there. I mean, you know, you look at it, a gallon of milk is up over a dollar. And even with the drastic reduction in energy prices, you know, you're still in January of 2021, we were at like two and a quarter on a gallon of gas. And today we're still somewhere between 340 and 350. So, you know, all of that impacts all of us, but even more so in the low to moderate income areas of our economy. And those are the areas that we really have to focus on to ensure that we can keep our community strong and continue to persevere.
Gotcha. Okay. Now, Paul, I know you said you're not an economist, but a banker. I'm neither. So I'm hoping that you can help me understand the interplay a little bit. Like, I understand the basics of this. The rate hikes make the cost of borrowing more expensive, which slows down economic growth. And that can ultimately make it harder to find a job. At the same time as what we're talking about here in Louisiana, I've got an article here from WWL.com that the Great Resignation is hitting Louisiana harder than most. And in fact, we may have more opportunities for people to seek work in at least our local economy. How do you see the interplay between these two factors working out?
Well, so it's interesting. You know, during the Great Resignation, there was just about every industry that you could think of, everyone was looking for employees. They were looking for staffing. Staffing levels were at monumental lows, and they were having to pay up for that. And that ultimately, when you start to do that, if you have to continue to pay up just to get people to come in and do the same job, ultimately what happens is you end up with a wage price spiral, right? So you're having to pay more for wages, therefore you have to charge more for your goods and services, therefore the end user or consumer has to pay more. What happens? Inflation goes up. So as these things come down, obviously you want the quality of life there, but maybe the wages that you have to pay to fill those positions may actually come down a little bit, improving your ability to pass those savings on to consumers. But you know, as tourism comes back, because we know that's a huge part of our regional economy, as tourism comes back, that can certainly help fill jobs. A lot of the things that were shut down during the pandemic, and even though we are making the transition to a more greener, cleaner energies, so much of Louisiana's economy is still based upon oil and gas and exploration. So as those open up, and I believe it was last week that the federal government opened up a bunch of leases that were sold in the Gulf, those will bring jobs. Those will bring back opportunities for tax dollars and growth in our local economy, which I think we're all excited about.
Excellent. Okay, great. We'll just have a couple minutes left here, Paul. Can I ask you for some personal financial advice?
Sure.
Great. I'm getting married October 22nd, just a month from tomorrow. Oh, my God.
Congratulations.
I just clocked that in real time. Oh, we've got 4 weeks. Okay, thank you. Do you think, knowing little about my life or my salary or anything or my holdings, do you think it's best for me to take an expensive honeymoon, maybe to Europe or somewhere in Central or South America, or should I buy an RV, or should I tuck it all away in savings?
Oh, goodness. Well, look, you got to live a little. Maybe you split it, right?
Are you listening,
maybe,
honey?
You split it.
Yeah.
So, I'm getting a text from your fiance. She says Europe.
Great.
No,
okay.
No.
It's done.
Look, you only live once, right? So
yeah.
I've always said that there is some middle ground between YOLO of you only live once, mm-hmm. and recognizing that you do have to save for your future and for that rainy day. So, you know, if it's a trip that may be once in a lifetime that you can do, especially with the strength of the dollar,
right,
you could go to Europe or South America, and it's not going to, you know, it's not going to laden you with debt. Like you're not doing this on a credit card, but this is something that maybe you've saved up for, and it's a great experience. Why not? You got to be able to enjoy yourself, but I think you've got to be able to enjoy yourself and enjoy your life, but not do it at the detriment of your future by doing it with debt.
Great. I'm glad. That's a satisfactory answer, Paul. Thank you very much. I'm glad you mentioned the strong dollar, too. We were talking about maybe going to the UK. The British pound is weak. It's tough like a ukulele right now. So we could go to the UK and make a killing.
There you go.
All right.
Well, listen, Ian, if I don't talk to you, congratulations.
Thank you, man.
And whatever you do, I hope you have a ball.
I'm sure that we will have a ball. That's the real guarantee. Thank you so much, Paul. Nice speaking with you, man.
Enjoyed it. Have a great day.
You too, bud. Paul Myers is the North Shore Market President of Metairie Bank.